following show is closed captioned for the reality impaired. The Jerry Bader Show.
.841 1360 97.5 WTAQ News Talk Sports. Well, it's nearly official. Nearly. My wife and I are nearly officially empty nesters. Actually, I guess that was official when our daughter graduated from high school earlier this month, but we had the graduation party over the weekend. That's why I wasn't here yesterday. I volunteered to take a vacation day and clean up. Actually, for the number of, and they're still kids to me, the number of kids she had over. You know, there was the adult thing, and then there were her guests, and her guests stayed till late into the night. Wasn't too bad. One broken lawn chair. I mean, all things considered, I thought it was pretty good. My wife actually did the first wave Sunday night. So, not bad. Not bad at all. Love my daughters dearly. I'm not going to lie. I'm looking forward to the empty nest. Well, you know, they're still there. They'll come back. They're both in college for 1 year. Then our older daughter graduates. Very weird. It still feels futuristic to me. I remember when the younger one, well, they're both young, but thinking the younger one, while they're in the house until 2014, and that seems so long, long away, you know, into the future. Not so much. Before I forget, I do want to, again, I did this earlier on the air, but I again want to say a huge, huge thank you to all of those who contributed to families with children with cancer. Last week, the Radiothon, Monday and Friday, combined, and when you throw in what families of they got the totals from the Donate Now button, it looks like, and I'm not saying I added up every single penny exactly here, but in the neighborhood of $33,000, which puts us right about where we have been in recent years, maybe up just a bit. Maybe up just a bit from the last couple. So, again, a huge, huge thank you on behalf of families with children with cancer. And you heard the stories last week, how the money is used, why it's very important. And remember, if you go to their website, the Donate Now button is always there. I don't know if it's still at jerrybadershow.com. Why don't you check quick, Jason? I don't know what, you know, in terms of it being taken down. I didn't put a deadline on there. Maybe they just set it up. No, it's still there. It is still there. So you can actually go to jerrybadershow.com. We do still have the donate online feature up there. And I've got some pictures up there from last. Yeah, you can go check out all sorts of stuff. We have pictures from last week, some of the kids and families that were in. The little guy that actually let me hold him, eventually. Mike and Matt. Yeah, there's a lot of nice pictures there. But if you didn't get a chance to give, you can still, and again, that button is there any old time at their website. This is going to be a struggle for me because there are a number of things I did not get a chance to talk about. In some ways, I actually haven't done, well, not in some ways, I actually haven't done a real show since Thursday. We did the Radiothon on Friday. We did have Governor Walker on. We talked a little bit about the ridiculous reporting of the latest email dump. Got into that, but not, you know, we interviewed the governor for about 8 minutes, 9 minutes. But then it was back to the Radiothon. Then, of course, I was cleaning up my daughter's graduation party yesterday. So Seth Mila was here from WSAU in Wausau. So I really, you know, the IRS scandal, the Scott Walker criminal scheme, and a number of other things I just have not had a chance to get to. Perhaps chief among them, though, I had an interesting Friday. I was at basically at the Radiothon, and then I was out at a golf outing Friday afternoon. Golfed miserably, Jason. Remember the one hole Thursday? My whole round was that way. I must have like stranger anxiety when it comes to golf. I'm totally serious about that. Or I just can't golf in new experiences. I mean, the rest of my round Thursday really wasn't all that bad. I could not hit the ball decently once. You didn't see your score. Yeah, you had to take off because we were all looking for you. It's like, no, he's gone. But I got witness accounts that you were hitting the ball very well. Yeah, that's well, people have never seen you golf before. You know, the first time you hit one off the tee, they were a little surprised. I mean, I've seen that, so that you know, that wouldn't surprise me. So I pretty much was gone from the end of the show on Friday until I got here this morning. I golfed with two very good golfers. Great guys, too, by the way. Really good. Bill and PJ. Really good guys. But really good golfers. I mean, really. On that course, and I forget who is who, but one of them is just about a par golfer on that course. Anyway, enough of that. Anyway, so I pretty much have been gone since right after the show on Friday. Now, I had challenged the media to cover something that I had broken on Thursday, a story I broke. They did. And I haven't had a chance to give a credit where credit is due and shame where shame is due, and we'll do that after 9 o'clock. I want to start here, though. I guess to say I've been on the air for almost 10 minutes, so I guess I can't really say start here, but the first thing I really want to delve into is this. I have railed on this for years. And maybe this is a product of being raised on a farm, but it is amazing to me how most people don't understand the life cycle of wildlife. You would have thought that the Lion's King would have brought home the whole circle of life thing, right? That they would understand. Animals don't go and retire somewhere and die peacefully. It almost never works that way. Yesterday's paper, Green Bay paper, Paul Sarubis has a front page story. Which, by the way, before I get to this, and maybe I'll spend more time on this another time, the pellet gun found at a school during summer school gets a huge front page. A girl shot in a robbery, unrelated robbery, gets a smaller story. What happened is police received a report. It's Preble, right? Police received a report. Is it East? I apologize. East. Green Bay East. I paid almost no attention to the news yesterday. Green Bay East. Yeah, that's right. I saw it on TV. That it was a gun at the school, and that's the way they reacted, and they should. When it turned out to be not such a big event, the media just stayed with the original narrative. But a girl shot in a robbery is a lesser story. Anyway, this front page story yesterday is about the Green Bay suburbs and whether or not they are going to deal with urban deer. Now, in some of these communities, there's debate over whether there is an overpopulation and whether the local municipality needs to control it. Okay, fair enough. But if you do have a deer overpopulation, the reality is you need to deal with it. You need to reduce car deer crashes. You need to reduce other problems that rise from having large wildlife living where people live. It's really that simple. Interestingly, this story never even comes out and talks about shooting the deer. It just says communities have been trying remedial population control efforts. But they're not saying that we're going to shoot them. I would assume that it would be the sharpshooters or that sort of thing. But it doesn't come right out and say that. Instead, it says that they're considering it. Really? Jason says they had four or five deer run right down your street. Boy, Southwest Green Bay, Southwest Side. No kidding, huh? I've seen that out here. I saw a whole bunch of them cross once. I mean, that happens. Oh, I bet your kids did freak out. I think it is, in the metropolitan Green Bay area, I think it's a growing problem. So here's what's interesting, though. So Cerubus does this story that for now, officials aren't going to take any action. Ashwaubenon, Alloway, DePere are the three communities. Either they're just not sure what to do, or they don't think the problem is big enough, depending on the community. Here's how Paul Cerubus leads off this story. And I know I have covered this point before, but it drives me crazy. Here's his lead. Deer will remain safe, at least for the time being, in three area communities where officials have been considering whether remedial population control efforts are needed. Again, I'm assuming that may at least include shooting some of the deer. What do you mean by safe, Paul? Paul, what do you mean by safe? And here's where it gets really interesting. Let's see. Then he talks about how many deer were found by aerial census and that sort of thing. A DNR wildlife biologist told the city it can expect nuisance complaints and car deer crashes to escalate if the population continues to grow. But natural controls like predation and food limitations eventually should kick in and curb further growth. So what you're saying, Paul, is for now animals are safe from humans to be eviscerated by an animal with sharp teeth or starved to death. Now, I don't know if there are any wolves in the area, and I don't know what predators, I really don't know what other predators in the metropolitan area are going to get after these deer, but that might happen. So it may, but the two more likely causes of death are starving to death or being hit by a car. What the hell is it about people where they think that is more desirable than being shot? I mean, I'm probably going to get in trouble for saying this, but I think I've said it on the air before. If you were sentenced to death and you had two choices, starving to death or being shot, which would you pick? Now, you're going to live a little longer by starving to death and just summarily being killed by a bullet, but would you want to? Would you want to live that extra time? Well, Jason wants to know that, am I going to be shot and killed? Well, and that's probably yes, for purposes of this debate, it will be an immediate fatal shot. That's the debate. Of course, not every shot in hunting or even a sharpshooting situation is an immediate kill. But it's still more desirable, is it not, than starving to death? So, because I am guessing, and I don't know this, But I'm guessing that in some cases, local officials are concerned about the public backlash of controlling deer one way or the other, and I'm assuming that one way or the other would at some point involve guns. Well, don't shoot Bambi. We read that idiotic letter to the editor from that husband and wife team that how terrible it is to shoot urban deer. Well, they were here first. That is just that's almost the same mindset here. Yeah, we're here last. And that's really what counts. You cannot, at some point, you have to control a herd of wild animals. And deer in a herd are wild animals. This out of sight, out of mind thing. Well, it's okay to go hunt them in the woods, but don't kill them where I can know about it. It's just preposterously stupid. Again, if local communities have decided that there's not a tipping point yet, or they're not at a tipping point where they really need to deal with these animals, fine. But if they're putting it off just because they don't want to control the herd, that's stupid. And to leave it to predators, of which I don't think there are many, or the animals starving to death and getting hungrier and more desperate for food, is just stupid. Yeah, a listener goes, you beat me to it. We need to introduce more wolves and bear into the metropolitan area. You know, you think he's joking. Which one do you think they would prefer? Which do you think these idiots... Oh, my gosh. All right. We've got a lot to get to starting at 9:06. It's 8:56.
I'm not buying this crap.
At the IRS.
They're selling it.